We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station.
So I love The Athletic. I'm a subscriber. My year subscription, I'm sure, is up soon. I will re-up instantly. Best $60 I spent on sports this year. Spare me your why I join poems. Seriously, I don't need a haiku by my boy Ethan Sherwood Strauss explaining.
Love sports writing.
Yeah. Laid off by ESPN. Enjoy cashing checks.
Good for them.
Great for them.
I will say this, though. You are getting some good sports journalism with them after you get past their...
It's excellent.
Their initial piece of, here I am.
It's excellent. It's an excellent, excellent sports source. As soon as you get past the poem that everyone writes as soon as they join. Like, is that like Kawakami? He's like, he's hiring everyone. He's like, we're going to hire you. I'm going to need a poem.
Maybe that's their quote unquote audition piece.
That's right.
You know, you write me the best.
If you don't
poem.
If you don't pledge your odes of fealty in your hey I've joined letter, you don't get to really join.
Or their cover letter. That's their cover letter.
You got a mission statement.
Mission statement.
Seriously, man.
So you're going to share a piece from The Athletic?
No, I am. I am because our boy Matt Barrows is now a writer for The Athletic. Matt Barrows does an excellent job.
That's cool.
Talked about where you're going to watch tonight. Where are you going to put your eyes? What do you need to keep an eye on when you're watching 49ers and Cowboys? First of all, wouldn't it be great if every single Dallas Cowboy took a knee for the anthem? Just to spit on Jerry Jones and defy him right from the get-go, probably not going to happen. Not really anything to keep an eye on. Let's talk a little bit about what Matty says to keep an eye on. For the second straight season, the 49ers rookie class looks like it's going to be a prominent role during the regular season, and we're going to get our first looks tonight at Mike McGlinchey. Another guy to keep an eye on, sixth-rounder DJ Reed. He could start at nickel cornerback in place of an injured Kawan Williams. Seventh-rounder Julian Taylor has been playing defensive end with Eric Armstead shelved with an injury, so keep an eye on him tonight. Dante Pettis, we already went over, the rookie wide receiver out of Washington, second-round draft pick, one of the most prolific punt returners in the history of college football. He will get plenty of snaps tonight. We're going to see him probably in the slot. We're going to see him play special teams as well. Reuben Foster, Malcolm Smith, they're going to be your starting linebackers, but Reuben Foster isn't going to be able to start or play in the first 2 weeks. So Brock Coyle, Corey Toomer, these are guys who along with Fred Warner, the linebacker third-round pick out of BYU. Not only are these guys are looking for reps and to get it on film for the coaches and where they are on the depth chart for the rest of the season, one of these guys is auditioning to be a starter week one, week two, just because Reuben Foster can't go. Keep an eye on all that. Let's talk about wide receivers. The 49ers are going to keep six on their roster. Matt Barrow says three are easy. Goodwin, Pettis, Pierre Garçon. So really, it's a competition for three spots. And there are four or five guys competing for the last three spots. Trent Taylor is probably in the barn, which means you've got other guys competing. You got to figure Dante Pettis would have to play so poorly to be cut as a second-round draft pick. You're now really down to one spot to really compete for. Kendrick Bourne, Aaron Burbridge, Aldrick Robinson, Richie James, the undrafted kid, Stephen Dunbar. You got four guys all trying to get into that one wide receiver spot if you assume Goodwin, Pettis, Pierre Garçon, Trent Taylor are locked. So something to keep an eye there. Who, you know, don't want to be dropping a pass in the third quarter tonight. Doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Could be. Could be. Go, Joe, go. Joe Williams. Kyle Shanahan loves Joe Williams. Kyle Shanahan went out and drafted Joe Williams kind of all by his own. Fourth round pick of the 2017 draft. He went on IR. We never got to know him, never got to see him. Kyle Shanahan says he's excited to see him tonight.
I'm excited to watch him play out on the field. You know, he's I'm a lot more excited now than I was last year because of what he's shown in practice. I think you guys have seen it yourself. I know you guys have heard us talk about it. He's come a long way in a year, and he's given himself a chance to be a good running back. And we'll see how it looks on Thursday.
So we'll see him. We'll see Raheem Mostert. We know that Jeremy McNichols is trying to make this team. There's an undrafted kid named Jeff Wilson who's probably looking at a taxi squad, if nothing else. We know this starting backfield is going to be Breida and McKinnon, who's coming up behind them. So we're going to be watching all that. How much better C.J. Beathard looks. Word is the release is quicker. The deep ball is still there. If he can throw the deep ball, they're going to have a lot more tape on the wide receivers that they're going to be able to keep and evaluate. Good quarterbacks make things click, even preseason games. And the last thing that Matt Barrows brings up, and it's a significant thing because it was that much of a problem. I know a lot of you think that I picked a fight with Levi Stadium a long time ago, and I just wanted to keep on talking about it to sort of put out the cigarette in the forehead in the middle of the night. I didn't keep talking about it because I'm mean. I kept talking about it because the crowd you get at your home games affects your chances of winning a home game. And the 49ers crowds, from the minute Levi Stadium opened, have been awful. And then Jimmy showed up. Jimmy took what was an awful environment and turned it into, hey, this place has got some life in it for the first time, really, since it opened. I mean, the Chicago Bears closed the buzz on Levi Stadium, game one, Levi Stadium. Everyone walked out of there going, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong. Don't know what it is yet. Something's wrong.
But the vibe definitely changed at the end of last season.
Hell yeah, it did. So the buzz. There was true buzz about Garoppolo and the Niners as the 2017 season drew to a close. The December 24th game against playoff-bound Jacksonville, a 44-33 win, had more crowd energy from start to finish than any previous game the 49ers played at Levi's. Again, that's not me saying this. This is Matt. Matt's a nice guy who likes to make friends with people, like the opposite of me. He's a nice person. He wakes up to make people happy. I don't even care. And we both think the same way. That place has been dead since it opened, and now it's got a little life to it. Garoppolo's not going to get much time. It's a preseason game, but it's the Cowboys. It's the first time back since the last game there. What kind of buzz, if any, will be at Levi's for a preseason game? Just something else to keep an eye on. Oh, and this.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
I'm set the over-under for series for Jimmy at 1.5, and I'm going to take the under. I think he plays one series, and that's it.
That's it.
888-957-9570. More of your calls are certainly welcome to come up this hour, but we're going to say hello to a guy who's written a book here right in San Francisco. Tom Limbert writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. His book is called Most Valuable Dad. The foreword is written by Del Curry, and it's about how these dads give away to a whole bunch of kids who make sports a cornerstone of their lives and the relationships that fathers and sons has. This guy has hustled to get on the show. I appreciate a hustler. We're going to talk to him next about a great little end table bathroom book, stocking stuffer for you to pick up for you and your kids this holiday season, since it's coming on fast.
Looks good. I like the cover. So far, visually, it's nice.
There you go. She likes a cover. Never judge a book by its cover.
No, but that's a good, you know, it's eye-catching.
But if you're going to have a sexy cover, which they do, we're going to talk about what's inside the cover next.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Pleasure to have you along. Beautiful Thursday afternoon here in the Bay. My next guest, Tom Limbert, lives over in Alameda. He has written a book called Most Valuable Dad. It's about the lessons fathers and sons learn about sports. The foreword of his book was written by none other than Del Curry, who's a pretty darn good sports dad. He's put two kids in the NBA. His daughter was certainly a decorated college athlete as well. We, on this show, have been sort of obsessed, like one of the topics that we like to explore are sports legacies. Guys whose dads played in the league, we see them now step into their professional careers and look like they belong from Jump Street. I guess we're all products of our environment, nature mm-hmm. versus nurture. And I'm sure our next guest knows an awful lot about that since he wrote the book, Most Valuable Dad. Tom Limbert, good enough to join us in studio. Tom, thank you very much for coming on in today. It's a pleasure to have you. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me. It is a beautiful day, by the way.
It is good to have you in here. Let me say, you got a lot of hustle, man. I'm sure that you originally intended to come on the show and promote this ahead of Father's Day due to some travel, due to some other things. We just could not connect until today, so it's good to finally have you in. Tell me a little bit about this passion project that really started from another book that you wrote a year ago about fathers and sports. This is a topic that you're all over.
So the first book came out in 2012. That's Dad's Playbook. And that Steve Young wrote the foreword on that one. That happened when John Wooden died. And I just read everything that Wooden had to say about leading people. And then I applied coaching philosophies to fatherhood. So if you know a dad who's like a coach or just into sports, Dad's Playbook is perfect for that. And then that was so successful. That sold over 100,000 copies that I just started to think, okay, guys like sports, guys like quotes. And then I thought about, what just a book where it was a compilation. So Most Valuable Dad is a compilation of athletes saying what their dad did for them and how they wouldn't be there without their dad. Some of the quotes are dads saying what fatherhood means to them, like LeBron, or Phelps who weren't close with their fathers.
It's funny how you've got guys who become professional athletes, and sometimes their fathers were very, very hands-on, very public in their rise. I think one of the most famous sports fathers of my lifetime is Richard Williams. Richard Williams of Venus and Serena Williams. I mean, look at it this way. It was a loud, brash African-American man standing out like a sore thumb at the U.S. Open and the All England Tennis Club. And people, I think, looked at him and maybe didn't see him in favorable light for more than just one reason. It wasn't just over-involved sports father. I'm sure there was an element of racism in that evaluation. If Richard Williams came on the scene today for the very first time, he would have his own masterclass channel on YouTube and be hailed as someone who is a 1,000 miles ahead of the curve, wouldn't he be?
Oh, yeah, that's a great call. That's interesting how things change so quickly. The whole theme of the book is to be more supportive and not so pushy. And it's funny that you chose him because, you know, I'm sure that there was some pushing involved with him and the daughters. But Serena's quote is great. Dad, thanks for leaning in by helping me become a role model for young girls. Hashtag lean in together. That's good stuff.
There you go. You know, she's obviously one of the greatest tennis players of all time. How she was natured, nurtured along with her sister, pushed into this sport where she certainly didn't fit the archetype. It's a fascinating thing. I talk to guys who are dads of kids who are just playing Little League ball around here in the Bay Area. And he said that, you know, you'd think here in 2018, maybe smarter, gentler, more millennial attitudes are brought to a Little League game.
Little League gets competitive.
No, it's not that way.
They're
we still
playing, yeah.
still have a mix of good dads, bad dads, yep. living way too much through their own kids' dads. Yeah. When you see this happening, someone who's studied the subject, do you feel like it's up to you to get involved when you see a dad take it too far?
That's the whole point of the book, is just that it's all about encouragement and support and not about, pushing and living vicariously through your child. So, and it's a fine line, anything with leadership is. But yeah, that's the whole point.
Tom Limbert wrote The Most Valuable Dad. Del Curry, Steph's father, certainly raised a pretty darn good kid. He's a success on the court, off the court. There is nothing not to like about Steph Curry. Heck, he's even somewhere on a, I don't want to say the leaderboard, but he's not on the cut line playing the LMA Classic today. He seems to just be wired as normal as a superstar has ever been wired. And obviously, Dell has an awful lot to do with that. Tell me about the conversation you had with Dell as he wrote the foreword for your book. And did he tell you about the secret sauce that he used as he was raising his kids?
You know what I love about the foreword from him is that he started, you know, chronologically talking about his relationship with his father. And he was the only boy in that family. And he was the youngest. So you can just picture his dad having a few daughters and liking that, but then having a little boy and they just bonded immediately. So and then he walked through growing up with his kids and raising them. And then he talked about being a grandfather now and how he's seen, like you said, how parenting has kind of changed over the years. But it's a perfect forward. And Steph's quote about his dad is emblematic of the whole theme of the book. Dad always told us that whatever he wanted to do, he'd support us. He wasn't ever going to push us to the gym. Sure, he'd go with us, but it's not like he'd wake us up and force us to go. That helped me a lot because my work ethic has always been my own and not someone else forcing it on me. So that's like the whole gist of the book.
I think most dads who force it are probably getting closer to pushing their kid away from a sport than
totally.
To it.
Yeah, and away from them.
Yeah, and the laissez-faire dads, the one who just said, look, in order for him to ever be great at this, in order for her to ever be really involved in this, they have to want it, not
you're
me.
You're still encouraging and supportive, but you're just not overdoing it, yeah.
Have you ever punched another dad because they were so awful at a game? Be honest, Tom.
No, I'm not like that, I think.
You never threw your book at a dad saying, read this, you need it more than anyone I've ever
met. That's good. No, they're not the ones reading it, unfortunately.
Most Valuable Dad, written by Tom Limbert. It's out right now. Chronicle Books put this thing out. And like I said, it's a great I hope that you take this for the compliment I mean it at. This isn't a coffee table book. It's not a big, pretty picture coffee table book. It's an end table book.
Oh,
it's
I
a
like
great
that.
Bathroom book. It's a pick it up, spend 5-10 minutes with it, put it down, come back to it, leaves you with something to think about for the day, and then you come back and learn another lesson a little bit later on.
That's how dads want it, right? We don't want to like read a whole
exactly. Who is time?
Thing,
who
yeah.
is yeah? My attention span. The Just father.
What
attention.
Damian Lillard said about his dad. Yeah, I don't want to like. Go too much into it. Yeah.
What did Damian Lillard say about his dad?
To this day, nobody has more power over me than my dad. His words go a lot further than me, pretty much anybody's. Him being in my life, the confidence that I've seen him show, even in times where our family might not have been in a great situation, I never saw the worry in him. Oakland boy.
There you go. It's amazing. You know, I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and I swear to God, I hear him in my mind more now than ever before.
That's one of the messages here, just how important our involvement is.
Well, it's a very cool book. I wish you the very best with
Thanks.
It. Again, it's a great thing to pick up. Holidays are coming, like Christmas time.
Very soon.
Hanukkah. All your major holidays are coming up. You need stocking stuffers, baby showers. By the way, if you're throwing a baby shower, don't do the modern combine it with a man thing.
You.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Word. No man wants to be dragged to a baby shower.
No baby barbecue.
No matter how gender fluid
Thank
your
you
baby
so
shower might be,
that.
We don't want to be there. But Tom, this is a great, great book that you've written. I've enjoyed looking at it. The photography's great in it. The pictures are great. The quotes are
nice.
Great. I wish you the very best with it. I do.
Thanks for having me on.
Before I let you go,
Uh-oh.
What do you think of the number one public enemy in sports fatherhood today? What do you think of LeVar Ball?
I liked that he was getting popular right about when this was coming out. And I, you know, and I'm going Curry instead of Ball. So, you know, not a fan. I just love the reserve nature of the Currys and how they're just not worried about the limelight, even though, you know, Steph has it naturally. But, I'm not a fan of all the attention grabbing.
That is the correct answer. Everyone go out and buy the book. Tom, thank you very much for coming
right,
in today.
Thanks.
I wish you the very, very best and good luck with everything.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Where are you off for? Are you going to go get a little downtown San Francisco happy hour? What are you going to do
sounds
now?
Sounds good. I'll do something like that on the way out of here.
There you go.
Can I just plug my website? ParentCoachTom.com.
Absolutely. Plug whatever you need to. You get 30 seconds to plug away. Go.
Most Valuable Dad is the new book from Del Curry's forward. And the first one was Dad's Playbook. That's Steve Young who did the forward on that. I taught his kids down at Stanford, and then we became friends.
Wait, you taught at Stanford?
Well, preschool. So, like, his youngest boys when they were like 2 and 4.
Wait a minute. Stanford's got preschool?
Yeah, they do. It's part of the psych department. Yeah.
Wow. That's next. What does it cost to send your kid to Stanford preschool?
I don't know. My husband works there. We're not sending hours. I got to work on this.
I know people. Let me see what I can do.
And he works there. What's up with that?
$42,000 a year for nap time and snack cups.
Hey, you know, it's a fast track.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, Stanford preschool, you're already
you're in.
You're automatically at Harvard Law. It goes right to it.
For real.
Skip first grade, go right to the Ivy Leagues. Thank you very much, Tom. Good luck with everything to you. Most Valuable Dad, inspiring words on fatherhood from sports superstars, written by Tom Limbert, who's a good guy. We like him very much. We wish him the very, very best. Tom, thank you for coming on in. We've got football coming up a little bit later on tonight. We are looking forward to that. It's been a really long time since the NFL was hanging out with us on our couch. The NFL is going to be hanging out with us on our couch tonight. It's going to be hanging out on couches tomorrow night. It's going to be fun to see it just back on the screen. I'm looking forward to it. Cam Inman's going to be joining us at 4:30 today. We're going to have a 5 before 5. Dieter Kurtenbaugh also coming in today. Another name game. We've got Butcher Boy coming up this afternoon as well. One of the things that I got to get to here, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of jokes made these days about Carmelo Anthony, and you know what? A lot of them fit. A lot of the criticisms, a lot of the snickering, a lot of the pointing, a lot of the washed jokes, you ain't who you used to be jokes, they all apply. They really do. Having said all that, who had a better day than Carmelo Anthony? Who in sports had a better day than Carmelo Anthony? I don't care what happens tonight in any preseason football game, a unknown backup fifth string running back could run for 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns in his pro debut, instantly becoming that team's starter forever. That guy wouldn't be having nearly the day that Carmelo Anthony had. There could be a catastrophic injury to 3 consecutive quarterbacks, meaning that Jack Hannigan at a Dartmouth is the Niners starting quarterback for the entire season. If a sequence of events led to Jack Hannigan being the starting quarterback for the 49ers tonight, for all of the regular season, he will have not had as good a day as Carmelo Anthony had today. Carmelo Anthony was sent a little gift package today by the Atlanta Hawks. This guy got an authentic, original Carmelo Anthony number 15 Atlanta Hawks jersey sent to him, along with the $25.5 million buyout check that they owed him for letting him go.
Wow.
Needless to say, the internet is talking about this. Guy says, as if finessing 3 different teams out of tens of millions of dollars over the last 3 years and being paid $25.5 million to not play for the Hawks this season wasn't impressive enough, the Hawks sent him his own jersey to commemorate his 5 days with that team. 5 days encompass the Carmelo Anthony era in Atlanta. This is the cherry on top.
Retire him to the rafters, greatest Hawk ever.
Indeed, Melo is heading to Houston, where he's going to wear Joe Johnson's old number 7, because Clint Capella wears number 15. And by the way, I haven't even thought of this. He's probably going to cause Mike D'Antoni to lose his marbles again. Remember, Mike D'Antoni was his coach with the Knicks. $25.5 million and a free jersey. Who had a better day than Carmelo Anthony?
Nobody.
No wonder why Lala keeps on hanging around. Infidelity, my you know what? Lala knows where her butter gets toasted. Or no, her toast gets buttered. You know what I mean? God.
Wow. Good. You know, hey, good work if you can find it. And that's the truth.
It is good work if you can find it. By the way, how about this? A little Cam Inman.
I've never had intro music. There's only one song, if I do karaoke, which I've maybe done twice in my life, it was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue. And then we take it higher. My goodness, damn near perfect. He's a lot of fun to talk to. Electric
Avenue. Now, here's 49ers insider, Cam Inman. Electric
Avenue. He is the 49er insider for the Bay Area News Group. When I saw him last week down at training camp, he had his lovely family with him. It was a family affair. I got to meet many Inmans that day. Cam, it's good to talk to you. How was your daughter's soccer game?
She actually had a couple games down in San Luis Obispo, and no injuries to report. She played hard. Everything's good. And, yeah, they had a good time.
Very, very nice. We like that. Hopefully it was a smooth weekend. Hopefully things are going to go smoothly for the 49ers tonight. I know I'm excited just to get a little football back on my TV while I'm sitting on my couch. We've been talking about where to put your eyes, what to really watch and look for. Where is your interest going to go in the beginning of this game? Obviously, if Garoppolo's in, all eyes are there. He'll probably be in for a series and that's it. So early on, where are your eyes?
Right. So, I mean, obviously Garoppolo, he's played, you know, I guess the first series or so. But I also want to see how Jerick McKinnon is introduced here. He's going to be making his 49ers debut, and there's going to be a lot of expectations for him this season to really help Garoppolo out. Same with, they got a new center in Weston Richburg. So those are the guys, like, kind of right off the bat that you're looking at. But yeah, then we get into the who's going to make this roster in about a month. And so there's, I think, what we have, 3-4 exhibitions that are really going to determine that. And there's enough question marks out there where you wonder whether, and it's kind of a nice thing, Damon, where there's no really pressing starting issues outside of right guard, which nobody, that's fine. That's, we can talk about that, and we have, but you get down to the number 3 running back, you get down to the number 4 or 5 linebacker, which are the best backup cornerbacks that might be needed if Richard Sherman gets hurt. Those are kind of the storylines you look at. Another thing just to kind of pay attention to is, especially all exhibition season long, is pay attention on special teams, like in punt coverage. See which guys are running down the field on coverage, because those are the guys that have an inside track on those last roster bubble spots. So a guy like maybe Aaron Burbridge or Raheem Mostert, those were two of their best special teams aces in previous years. So let's see if they're getting challenged for those jobs.
Yeah, I see that when you look at the 49ers depth chart right now, kick return, I don't see Dante Pettis' name, but I do see him on punt return. Given his resume coming out of college, there's no reason not to. I hope he gets to take the ball into the open field and run a little bit with it. I'm interested in seeing him tonight.
Absolutely. You know, I am too. I did a story on Dante, and his father was Gary Pettis, 5-time Gold Glove winner. And Dante's really come along nicely. And then I really like just how he's developed as a receiver. When they drafted him, I was like on board going, oh, good. They got a punt returner, possibly the best one in the league now. And he's come along really well as a wide receiver, where it's really worth paying attention to how they utilize him in what spots, too. Because which guy is he going to be challenging for playing time on the field? Is it a Pierre Garçon backup, or could he be in the slot instead of Trent Taylor? Those are things that you should watch, too.
Cam Inman from the Bay Area News Group here on 95.7 The Game. I am going to put my eyes on Stephen Dunbar tonight. Number 7, okay. Wide receiver, yep. Out of Houston, undrafted. He's 6'3", 210, yoked. He jumped out right to me when I walked on the field last week down in Santa Clara, and he looks like he's got a man's body in an undrafted wide receiver. He's going to be one of those guys fighting for one of those last 2 roster spots for a receiver. I mean, if you're just drafting body types, I can't believe he wasn't drafted.
He is a undrafted rookie out of Houston. He's been okay, Damon. I mean, he hasn't really made any exceptional plays 2 weeks in a camp. Nothing bad, per se, but there's enough competition ahead of him where he is buried on that depth chart right now. Like you said, Dante Pettis is grabbing one of those top 5 spots. Trent Taylor will be back. There's the question, I think, the one wide receiver that I think a lot of people really should be watching also is Kendrick Bourne. He was undrafted a year ago in that position. Showed some flash in the preseason games to earn himself a spot. And he played okay in the second half of last season once Marquise Goodwin went down. But is he a guy that's going to be able to stick on this roster and show that he can play special teams and also be the red zone threat? So, like, Bourne and Stephen Dunbar are the taller wide receivers. Basically, everybody else on this roster is your and my height, about 6 foot. And are you 6 foot or are you tall? Did I short you an inch or two?
Yeah, you just cost me about 2 inches.
Well, yeah, but you and I have a lot of hair, so that pushes us up a little bit. So.
Flat-footed 6'2", though. No sneakers, 6'2".
That's pretty impressive. See, and you went to Indiana, so you did pretty good in those hoop games, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. I was a moving screen waiting to happen. Let's not fool ourselves. Cam Inman here on 95.7 The Game. You know, we really haven't talked a lot about Solomon Thomas. How's he looked in camp? I haven't heard his name mentioned much. Big plans for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, you know, they're saying that they're going to use him as an edge rusher in early downs and bump him inside where he's a better fit. I think they're going to be experimenting with a lot of guys on the edge, Damon, trying to figure out if they have a pass rusher. As much as everybody wants him to go out and trade for Khalil Mack, they have so much investment into that defensive front that they really need to find somebody to emerge there. And so they're going to let Solomon Thomas give it a go. He's done okay. He's had moments where he looks really good. I think the pressure on him, though, as a number three overall draft pick is immense. And when you're an interior lineman, you're not going to get noticed very much unless you're Aaron Donald. And it took Aaron Donald a couple of years to get noticed. And he's on a holdout right now, so is Mac. So will Solomon Thomas be at that point in 4 years? The 49ers should hope so, but nothing to get too down on him yet. I mean, he's only 1 year in, and we'll see what he can do.
Big opportunity tonight for third-round linebacker Fred Warner. This is look, somebody's got to start for Reuben Foster in weeks 1 and 2 next to Malcolm Smith, and you'd figure that Fred Warner, Brock Coyle, and Corey Toomer are going to be the three guys deciding who gets to be the first couple-week starter at middle linebacker here in the preseason. Who's got the edge right now?
It's a great question because you would think Fred Warner is doing really well. He's a 6'3" rookie, a third-round draft pick, very smart, been physical, but he also has a chest issue that he kind of got hurt last week and got dinged about. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how precautious they're going to be in this game and how many reps are going to let him play because we don't know the significance of the chest injury. He was limited in practice, though. Earlier this week, so maybe they don't let him go full bore in his exhibition opener. He's a kid from Southern California. He's got friends and family here, so he's going to want to play and show them some stuff in his debut. But, yeah, I think Fred is one guy that definitely could do it. Brock Coyle filled in so well last year, and he's kind of gotten under the radar a lot, but he's been battling a hip issue in camp. So another guy, he probably won't get much action in the exhibition season. You're going to see the likes of Elijah Lee as an inside linebacker that he's done a lot in camp, just kind of because they've been forced to, because they've ran low on bodies. But, you know, Malcolm Smith's a guy that we haven't seen in a Niner uniform yet. He got hurt last year. He was their prized free agent outside of Brian Hoyer, I guess, and Pierre Garçon. And he got Malcolm got hurt right away in camp, and so he sat out all last year. But he plays a very important position to be next to Reuben Foster, like you said. So that's the linebacker situation. And, you know, get your fill of Reuben right now because he's going to be out those first two games of the regular season.
Big night for Joe Williams. At least that's what Kyle Shanahan keeps on saying. Cam, I've heard him billed as Kyle Shanahan's hand-selected project. That feels like an overbilling, or maybe that's exactly who he is. Running back Joe Williams, is he going to be someone who's playing a significant role here for the Niners, or will he be like the preseason 2010 Anthony Booby Dixon Award winner where he looks good in the preseason and then never makes the roster?
Booby Dixon was great, wasn't he? That guy was a very fun spirit. Joe Williams is he's a little bit more reserved. He's had a very good camp so far. You know, one thing about this Joe Williams situation, you know, he's a guy that was drafted in the fourth round, I think, last year. And his spot got taken out by an undrafted rookie in Matt Breida. And Breida's the number two running back, kind of almost unquestioned. Nobody's thinking that Joe Williams can push Breida for the number two spot behind Jet McKinnon this year. So, and that's kind of a credit to Shanahan and Lynch that, look, no matter your draft status and no matter how much we may have paid you in the offseason, you got to fight for your job. Remember a year ago, they also extended Jeremy Curley and as their slot guy. Then Trent Taylor came in, showed what he could do in the exhibition season, and they made Jeremy Curley expendable. So that's kind of a fun little intrigue that they do have going in these exhibition games is jobs are available, go get them.
Cowboys in town. It is just preseason, but that's supposed to mean something historically. Niners, Cowboys, right? Are you going to bother selling it, or this might as well be the NFL team X. It doesn't matter. It's preseason. There's no hype. Period.
No, there's hype. I mean, it's an exhibition opener, so we finally get to see some football again. And you know, this is year three of national anthem drama, and there's more drama, I think, on the Dallas Cowboys side because their owner has said he wants everybody standing with toes on the line. And that is not what the 49ers do. The Niners, even if Jed York wanted them all to do that, he's not going to force them to. So if guys want to take a knee again, they can. So I'm a little bit more curious to see if there's anybody going to rebel on the Cowboys sideline. It's a storyline, I think, that you know gained national prominence a couple years ago with Kaepernick for good reason. Fell out a little bit of the spotlight last year until Donald Trump said a few words, and then everybody kind of got back into it. So it's that backstory that we really aren't that comfortable talking about because we want to watch football, want to watch guys tackle, and we actually get to see that in a couple hours.
I'm looking forward to it. Cam, thank you very much. Great to talk to you about it, as always.
All right, D-Bruce, thanks.
Cam Inman, good stuff, great stuff, as always. When we come on back, we will have ourselves a 5 before 5, and oh, we have a bulletin for the New York media. Very first carry in a San Francisco Giants, in a New York Giants uniform. Saquon Barkley has ripped off a 39-yard run on his very first carry in the NFL. Preseason or not, Saquon Barkley, 39 yards, and tomorrow they will be debating his Rookie of the Year or MVP award in New York. I'm guaranteeing you that. Write it down. Get ready. Saquon Barkley is coming to you. We're going to have ourselves a 5 before 5 next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we almost got 5 before 5, but right now we got to get to Al Castro Valley, who's been waiting patiently through a couple of interviews. Al, thank you. What do you got?
Hey, Damon, I miss you and Jan and Mike, the technician. You know, I'm the ticket taker.
Oh, this is... Hi, Al. We love Al.
Yes, Alan.
Al drops off candy bars to make us, me, fatter than I should be.
I miss you guys. Be seeing you in a couple of months because I work at everything over there, the Raiders, the Warriors, the A's, everything. So I'll be seeing you, but I was worried about your health.
Oh, don't be worried about my health. We're fine now, Al. Everything's good. We're rolling.
No, good. No. All that butter and that Russian food you're going to
eat. My future health.
My wife worries about me about eating all that butter, you know.
Here's the deal. I'm going to be Russian fat boy on Friday night, and then I'll eat a salad or three of them over the rest of the weekend. I will sin on Friday, and I'll be a believer on Saturday and Sunday.
In moderation.
The greeny goes good. But the other thing is say hello to Mike. Is he still your technician?
No, Mike's not here today. No, he's not. We got Elena. We don't need Mike Krupicko, and we got the Bouton Vixen. We only bring Mike out on
all right.
On remote.
On remote.
when you see him, you tell him the old guy said hello to everybody. I don't know about who your screener is, if he's the same guy.
We're all the same people.
Guy.
We're in radio.
We're still here.
Al, it's radio. No one goes anywhere fast. That's sort of the theme of the entire industry.
True. That was nice that he checked in.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart. I do love Al. Al is my guy. Al works the with the concourse entrance going into Oracle Arena. My kind of guy. One of the best ticket takers that has ever taken a ticket.
In the biz.
And on that note, it's time for 5 Before 5.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 Before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Gianna, you can tell I'm going to take this segment seriously because I just put my glasses on.
Time to focus, Damon.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, a couple things here really quick. So the NBA schedules, the regular season schedule is coming out tomorrow.
Yes.
So at 1 o'clock, Bob Myers will be on 95.7 The Game tomorrow breaking it all down. So make sure everyone tunes in.
1 o'clock, he's locked in because I heard if it were later, he's going to be on my show. But if it's 1 o'clock, he's not going to be on my show. So I hope he stiffs.
Well, the schedules are out at 1 o'clock, so maybe he won't be available until like 3.
I hope he's busy until about 3:05.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking,
too. I'm not rooting against Papa and Bonte as much as I'm rooting for us.
I hear ya.
Number one.
All right, well, let's talk a little NBA. Kawhi Leonard finally saying goodbye and thank you, basically, to San Antonio. Did you see this, Damon? Did you see his letter that he put out?
Yeah, it looked like he had cut and pasted something from a Girl Scout jamboree where they want to thank everyone before they go. We want to thank everybody at the campsite. We want to thank our Build-A-Bear partners. We want to thank all the scout mothers and all of the den mothers who came and sold our cookies. Like, it's the most cheeseball, corny, disingenuous, non-thank-you of all time.
Well, because it was nothing but thank yous. And it took him apparently a couple weeks to put it together as
exactly.
He starts off saying, I wasn't sure how to, you know, what to say. So I went back and forth the last few weeks. But of course, he thanks the fans. He thanks the organization. Thank you.
That's basically that's what it said. It reads like that. It goes, thank you. But really what he means is...
I do like that he gave one specific thank you to Pop. Thank you, Pop. I'll always be grateful for my growth under your guidance.
Thank you, Pop. I literally walked away from you as your wife died and you needed me the most. Enjoy Toronto.
Number two.
If I get sound effects like that for every single 5 before 5, that's a good day. Okay, here we go. Next one. How would you like to wake up one day and just kind of go through your bank account and see like an extra $150,000? That'd be pretty sweet, right?
Nice.
Well, that happened. So apparently, good news for anyone sharing the same name as a professional golfer. You're just a clerical error away from a significant payday, apparently. ESPN reporting that European Tour sent nearly 120,000 euros that Tommy Fleetwood would have won for finishing 12th at the Open Championship. It went to a golf teacher of the same name in Florida. So they direct deposit or wire the money to the winner. So instead of sending it to Tommy Fleetwood, who placed in the British Open, they sent it to a golf teacher.
To the wrong Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah. And he tweeted out a picture of his bank account. It's pretty awesome.
This is one of those, it's like a real life Monopoly card where it's like bank error in your favor, except it wasn't a bank error in his favor. It's like bank error not in your favor, please return $100,000. That's rough. You think you got it for a second, Easy Street is now yours, and I'm sure it all was corrected quickly and subtracted from his account. So when I was in high school, before I got to high school, there was a kid in my high school whose name was Bruce Damon.
No way.
Swear to God. Went there years before I got there. When I finally made it to my high school, the first 2 semesters of report cards were sent to Bruce Damon and his old address.
Oh, that's funny.
And my parents got so mad at me because they thought that I was stealing the report card because your boy was not exactly academically inclined.
Mm.
So, you know, report card means I might be in trouble, so me making said report card disappear wasn't exactly a lost theory on my parents who were trying to stay a step ahead of me. I never stole it once. I never kidnapped it once. It was being sent the wrong place. And after my father smacked me over this.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there was some serious, like, I am so sorry. We will never doubt you again. And I'm like, I swear to God, I didn't do it. I swear to God.
They didn't believe you.
They didn't believe me. I wouldn't have believed me either.
That's the kind of kid you were.
Bruce Damon.
Not to be confused with
Damon Bruce.
Number three.
All right. So Players Weekend, Nickname Weekend, is happening in baseball August 24th through the 26th.
Jonathan Lucroy, player to be named later.
Well, okay. Speaking of.
PTBNL is going to be on the back of his jersey. That's
very
fantastic.
Very funny. Very funny. All right. So there's some really cool nicknames that are going to be popping up for Major League Baseball. I got a couple for the A's here. How about Jonathan Lucroy, who just goes by Luke, L-U-C.
Okay.
Sean Mania, Maniolator. That's pretty good.
It's good, but does anyone really call him that?
Well, maybe they do. Maybe maybe the team calls him
Like they call him the Maniolator?
Maybe. Well, I mean,
Feels like the name of a pitch more than a nickname for him, but okay.
I think it's cute.
Okay, okay, yeah, sure.
Matt Chapman, Chappie.
Sure.
Chris Davis, KD.
Okay, could have used a little bit more funk there, but if that's his real nickname, what I like. Did you? My favorite is what they did for newcomer Ramon Laureano. Did you see what his nickname's going to be? His nickname's going to be Laureano. You're a new guy. That's what they should put. They should put new guy
new
on
guy.
The back of his jersey. But he's so new, he doesn't even get to participate in nickname day.
Aww,
hey, Laureano.
That's too bad.
We're giving you the nickname Laureano. You haven't been here long enough to get a legit nickname yet.
Here's some for the Giants. Sam Dyson. Psst.
What?
Psst. P-S-S-T. Like, psst.
Psst.
Like, psst. Hey.
Like psst.
Yeah, exactly.
For Sam Dyson?
That's going to be his nickname on the back of his jersey.
That's stupid.
Brandon Crawford, DJ BC Raw.
No, that's
yo, yo, yo.
That's trying so hard. I feel sorry for you.
Branded Belt, Bob.
No. Baby Giraffe.
Baby Giraffe.
You shouldn't be able to pick your own nickname.
Derek Holland has a really good one. Last name. He's just gonna put last name on the jersey.
Again, no one calls him that. I don't like your trying too hard names. There was a kid in my high school who threw a party his freshman year, and his name was Craig Comley. And then he came after he threw a party on like a Saturday night that was, I guess, by any high school standards, like a good party. There was a keg there. Like Monday, he was like, hey, so everyone needs to call me like Keg Comley now. And it was like, no.
Oh,
you can't give yourself your own nickname. And it stuck with him in the wrong way for all 4 years of high school. People would be like, what's up, Kegger? Like, I mean, it totally blew up in his face. God. He thought after one weekend of freshman partying, he was going to be the new big man on campus, and it turned into something that haunted him through 4 years of high school. He'd be like, oh, what's the kegger doing on Friday night? Oh, kegger.
That sucks.
He sucked.
Don't you miss high school.
He sucked.
Number four.
Your nickname? I mean, sometimes we call you DB.
That's it. No, D. Bruce.
D. Bruce,
it's never
yeah,
been
D. Bruce.
Any. It never got any more clever than that.
Okay.
Nothing.
D.
DB, D. Bruce, D. D. That's it.
D could get dangerous. All right. Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander.
Kids love the D.
Credit to wife Kate Upton with saving his career.
What? What's this? Hold on. Who credited Kate Upton with saving his career?
Her husband.
Who's Justin her husband?
Justin Verlander. How do you know that
I'm
Kate Upton and
about,
Justin Verlander are not
sorry,
married?
Sorry. I was thinking of Kate Moss for a second. No. This is the opposite.
Kate Moss
with boobs.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So
yes. Very familiar with her work.
I did not realize this.
I'm familiar with both albums.
I'm sure you are. But apparently Justin Verlander
in 2014 was going through
a dip in his career, struggling. He was very depressed. He was very down and out. He was 31 years old. And sometimes he'd really just, you know, have some depressing moments. And apparently he met Kate, who
opened the kimono and everything was fine.
Who understood what he was going through because she understood about being famous and being in the limelight. And he credits her with turning his career around, like physically and emotionally.
Physically, for sure. Look, I could understand how a lot of guys' midlife crises would have been served with two scoops of Kate Upton. Are you serious? Think of the confidence this show would have.
Here, Justin Verlander is pouring out his heart. His, like, innermost thoughts and feelings about how much he loves his wife.
What's the secret?
And that's all you care about.
What's the secret? Balco? No. D-cups.
Maybe there's good talks at night. Good conversation.
Yeah, seriously. If I were Justin Verlander and I was depressed, I'd just go down in my garage and I'd hand her a jump rope and I'd be like, can I get 5 minutes?
Why?
Number five.
Okay, one more. Baseball umpire head to the dugout to have a live moth pulled from his ear canal. I believe this happened in a Yankee game. A moth flew into his ear. He had to get a Yankees trainer to tend to it to get it out with like a tweezer. If you see the video,
I bet you
can't watch it again. I watched it once and it scarred me.
I bet you if Kate Upton were jumping on a trampoline, that moth would have come out on its own volition.
Damon, has a moth ever flown in your ear?
No, I've never had to have a bug removed from my body. I've never had like a tick embed itself anywhere.
Ooh.
I've never had any worms. I've never had any parasites that I know about.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.